Utah Grizzlies hockey, it's just fun. Follow the Utah Grizzlies on Facebook for the latest on weekend home games and promotions, or visit utahgrizzlies.com for more. Utah Grizzlies hockey, it's just fun.
I'm Gavin Sheehan, and this is Slug Soundwaves, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug, an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, is one of the oldest independent publications in the United States, distributing free monthly issues about music, art, action sports, and subculture. In this episode, we're going to preview the brand new Albino Father album. Albino Father are a lo-fi psychedelic band from Salt Lake City. The group formed in 2006, primarily led by Matt Honus, with a rotating cast of musicians over the years, contributing to the band's sound both recorded and live. Since its inception, the band has released several EPs and singles, as well as three full-length albums. Their latest album, 2, will be released this fall. We'll listen to some of that album later in the episode, but right now, Slug writer Nicholas Smith sat down with Andrew Shaw, Matt Honus, and BJ Gordon to talk about the band and their latest album.
So compared to 4, there was an album released in 2012, much more garage rock, less psychedelic, I'd say like more garage rock, but this album 2 seems to be a lot more psychedelic, a lot more ominous, kind of intense. So I was just wondering what in the last 2 years has kind of directed you towards this sound?
Just hanging out.
Just hanging out?
Yeah, life keeps getting darker. And it's the first with these boys.
Yeah, recording live.
Yeah, it's the first album that's going to be the full band on the record. Before, he's played a few parts,
mostly bass and wanking guitars.
Yeah, but this time it's all of us instead of just me. I don't know if that influenced it.
And I think we just kind of got bored with the same like wankiness of what we were doing. So it like turned into more of a darky kind of sound, dark kind of sound.
I think it just shows kind of what Matt's been influenced by too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, influences change, and I think it's in the same area, but yeah, just things move back and forth.
Is 2 kind of representative of like the 2 years it's been since your last album release, or is it more like we were talking about the Gemini symbol?
he's really into astrology.
Into astrology.
Days,
yeah.
4 was named that because it was the 4th EP, and this is 2 because it's the second full length. It's boring.
Oh,
and
that makes sense.
I wanted to name it Heavy Fucking, but they wouldn't let me.
No, I totally was on board with Heavy Fucking.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I think we all were on board.
I don't know why I just backed out.
I backed out of the Heavy Fucking.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and the names are always kind of funny. Like age is age because most of the songs have an A, a G, and an E in them.
Well, I noticed like the song names. Heavy Fucking is a great, great song. Very kind of like, I like the effects in it, the almost like rain or the swampy, you know, kind of beginning, and it really picks up. But the song, so it goes Heavy Fucking, and then between the fucking and the colors, right? And then Rainbow Pills. It seems sort of like self-referential about like psychedelic genre. Are you kind of like making fun a little bit?
I don't know about making fun. Rainbow Pills, that comes from a lyric in that song.
Well, I guess in psychedelic genre, Rainbow Pills seems to kind of suggest.
Yeah, it could be an allusion to acid or something like that. What are those uppers? Those Jimmies? Bennies?
Bags? I do not know. He's going to flee the phone now.
The song titles are kind of, I mean, they're...
They're meaningless.
They're pretty meaningless. Like, they change. Like, I mean, you mentioned, I don't even know what Heavy Fucking
is.
Yeah,
I don't know what song that is.
And
so it was the one that I called Andrew's Butthole, but he didn't. Yeah. He wouldn't let me.
Yeah, that's not. But what do we call it to ourselves?
It's the sludgy one, right?
Yeah.
Is that Disneyland?
It started out as the sludgy one.
That's the stoner jam.
Stoner jam. See, yeah. So, like, the song titles are just, you know, really...
And
they don't mean a lot, and they just eventually land on something because you have to put them down on paper.
Every band practice, they change. There's something different. Like, I don't... Beep, beep, beep. Oh, that one, yeah.
Makes playing live interesting because we usually... I'll call out the name of the song, and then they'll all not know what I'm talking about, so I'll have to play a little bit of it. So if you ever see us live, you'll notice that.
And then Chris still won't know, and then everybody will play a little bit, and he'll be like, yeah, I just did this thing.
We'll catch up.
So when you were making this album, did you guys have a concept or theme in mind where you were making it, or does it seem more kind of make them up as you go?
I've done kind of more concepts in the past, but this one is just kind of a collection of songs.
Yeah, we had enough songs to record and make an album, so we did.
I think because same people wrote them all. They have similar, like a thread maybe going through them, but not anything on purpose.
The ominous sound that you guys have seems to be kind of constant, I think, throughout this one. And I noticed there's a lot of lyrics kind of about disappearing or like a sense of loss, like I want running away, that kind of thing. It seems like even if you didn't plan on it, it's kind of connected in a certain way.
Yeah. For some reason, I cannot write a happy song. And songs that I feel are happy are other people don't find them happy.
Yeah, no. They always kind of, happy songs always kind of seem a little fake. I don't think you're able to write just okay. fake music. Well, but his is, Color Animal's different, though.
You can write a happy pop tune.
Yeah, sure, yeah. But writing happy songs is, I mean, I guess I wouldn't really say, I think those songs are in major keys. I don't know that the songs are happy.
Like I don't know if we know what song, what key any of these songs
are. Yeah, like I just, yeah, like writing happy songs I think is more just about the sound of the music more than the lyrical content. Because with Color Animal, I try to make it mostly gibberish. But well, then you can kind of maybe sometimes read something into it.
Yeah, and a lot of our stuff may seem a lot darker than it actually is.
Yeah.
For sure. But you listen to him warbling sometimes.
We had a song a couple albums ago that it was about my cat, but it seemed like something it was about something else.
Sunshine?
Yeah.
Is that the one? Yeah, Sunshine's a fun song. That sounds like a happy song, though.
Yeah. Relatively happy.
My dad sung that song to me one time, and he was like, yeah, you know the happy song? I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? And he's like, yeah, Sunshine. It was really bizarre.
This is a Sinatra version.
It's really bizarre, yeah.
I think I'd like dark or sad or actually a lot of the new songs are about murder. It probably comes from like listening to too much Nick Cave and all his murder ballads. Like Radiohead with how they can set like a tone of paranoia. Swans, it's a big influence too.
Swans.
So stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I heard like Disappear, the song Disappear reminds me a lot of the Black Angels. And I think too, I Can See for Miles remind me of Ty Siegel a lot. You know, it's kind of this, the more twisted side of psychedelic music, right? I mean, you can be, psychedelic has a lot of different species, but I feel like this one is very explored. Like you're doing a lot of exploration, I think, kind of like in the more twisted side of things, which I think comes through a lot.
That way.
I Disappear was like kind of a jam, right? Like you guys did that when I was out one day.
That was actually, that was probably the most collaborative song we wrote so far, right? Like, because it did just kind of, come from a jam.
Yeah, it helps that most of it's just one note.
Do most of your songs kind of come out in jamming or?
Well, Matt shows up with, usually Matt comes with like a riff and some sort of basic structure, and sometimes they're more fully formed than others.
Most of the song structure just comes from drum and bass. We're just,
that's absolutely true.
Yeah.
The two guitars don't really.
We're noodlers.
Yeah, they noodle, and then the drums and the bass kind of hold it down. And as the bass player, I consider myself the conductor of this band because I kind of, especially in a live situation, I just kind of look over at Chris, the drummer, and decide when we're going to make changes and things. The two of us, because these guys just kind of noodle mostly.
If we had a twist, it would just go on forever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we don't want to be fish.
The drums and the bass are both doing a lot of work, I think, in this album. The drones that you guys do kind of over the top makes kind of everything feel a little subdued, you know, almost like there's like a lot of energy underneath it, you know, but it kind of has like that element of uncomfortableness or, you know, I guess paranoia, as you were saying.
Our new stuff is actually even more like that, like the Swans influence again. Like they're very focused on the rhythm, kind of like post-punky almost, like where the bass has the melody and drums keep it going forward, and then we just make noises.
And I also noticed there's, in general, kind of in Salt Lake City, I think right now, there's kind of a lot of psychedelic music kind of coming up. Any thoughts of why that might be? And do you guys, like, position yourself kind of in that realm, or is it more kind of, a personal?
I'm a big fan of psych music, and I kind of think our stuff fits in somewhere in that world. Personally, I don't feel like we're part of any scene. Well, I mean, we're part of the scene.
Well, I guess, like, are you borrowing
in Salt Lake?
Yeah. Are you borrowing influences from other local bands? I can know, like, Color Animal, right, is...
Yeah, I mean, that's my other band, so...
We don't really often play with any other psych band. I can't even think of the last time we actually played with another, like, psychedelic band.
I wish we would do more.
Played with Beat Hotel. We got that going on. Well, it's a little more garagey.
Well, and then we played with The Hussy, but, I mean, they're not Salt Lake.
Local.
Yeah.
I guess I don't really get too influenced by other Salt Lake bands other than bands who I play with.
Okay.
Members, like Color Animal, he inspires me to do stuff. I'm in Pentagram Crackers as well. And there's been a little bit of influence from like Nick and Ryan's, and mm-hmm. they're in the band, their songwriting. So it's more people I play music with rather than bands in the Salt Lake that are doing the same thing. That's not to say that, you know, they're not doing anything worth being inspired by. It's just, I don't know if it's happened much.
Is there a lyric in this album that you guys think kind of best captures what's going on inside the music?
I don't even know what your lyrics are. Yeah.
They are kind of hard to catch, but the...
Maybe, but not that I know of. Lyrics, I have a love-hate relationship with them. I don't think I'm very good at writing them. So that's what kind of why they're obscure a little bit. I do appreciate good lyrics.
Letter Float's not on this, is it?
No.
Because that's pretty descriptive.
I don't know. I don't think there is.
I feel like this album could be called Run. Just the word Run.
There's a lot of running.
Seems to come up a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Personally, like, when I listen to music, I hear the music first, and then lyrics come second. So if there's a good song with awful lyrics, I'll probably still dig it. But a boring song with great lyrics, I probably won't listen to it much. Yeah, mm-hmm. Better as a poem.
We had this discussion not too long ago, actually.
Yeah, I'm the exact same way. Like, I never hear lyrics. And so if you describe a song to me, you know, the one that says la da 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 da, I'd be like, no, lyrics don't really register. Yeah.
So much so that I often forget lyrics while playing.
and recording.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I hopefully the music says more than my words. Mm-hmm. You're just there.
Yeah.
Actually, the very last song is about hating words.
Really?
And wishing that I didn't have to use them.
And you guys self-produced this album, right? Is that...
Yeah. We recorded mm-hmm. ourselves.
And you guys are writing new music right now for our next album, right?
Yeah. We just recorded about 5 songs. Might release an EP.
Well, and the new stuff's totally weird. Like, it's not... I don't think it really... It's different than the last album.
Well, it seems to be the trajectory. I mean, you guys are definitely doing a lot of more exploring, creative.
I think, yeah, I am a record collector nerd, so I listen to way too many kinds of music. And they all kind of seep in to the writing. But I think there's both limited skills and just personality. You can tell it's us, even if we write like a salsa song. It would still sound like
limited
us.
Limited skills.
On my part. Not these guys. They know what they're doing.
Hi, it's me, Bill Allred, and if you haven't been listening to my podcast, The Let's Go Eat Show, here's some of what you've been missing.
Hope Woodside, Channel 13. You've been on that station for 17 years? That's very unprecedented. You and Bob, you have worked with no other partner, is that correct?
Well, in Bob, previous ever? Jobs.
Well, but I mean here.
Not, yeah.
Just
no,
Bob.
No.
Do you hate him yet?
What are you getting?
Download the Let's Go Eat Show now. It's available on iTunes and theletsgoeatshow.com.
We're going to listen to some of the music from that brand new album now with 2 new tracks. The first song, titled Rainbow Pills, followed by I Can See for Miles, that's M-Y-L-E-S, off their brand new album from Albino Father called 2. We'll be right back. We hope you enjoyed those tracks off Albino Father's brand new album 2, which will be released on October 26th. For more info on the band and probably the location where you can buy that new album, visit them online at albinofather.bandcamp.com. Thanks for listening to Slug Soundwaves, and for all things Slug Magazine, visit slugmag.com. Please send us suggestions of what you'd like to hear on our show by sending them to us at soundwaves@slugmag.com or hitting us up on Twitter at Slug Soundwaves. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and is produced by me, Gavin Sheehan. The associate producers are Alexander Ortega, Christian Schultz, and John Ford. The executive producer is Angela H. Brown. The theme was performed by Lindsay Heath and Mike Sasich. Main logo and art design by Nicholas Dowd. And the technical design by Kate Colgan. On next week's episode, we're going to mainly be talking local theater, as we bring in cast members from Salt Lake Acting Company's I'll Eat You Last and the latest edition of Radio Hour from Plan B Theater. Thanks for listening.